As we continue in our One Another series in the mornings, we've come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Wait for One Another. So this morning I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to be reading verses 17 through 34. So if you'd like to read along with me in your copy of God's Word, you can do that. So hear now God's holy word. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." This is God's word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord our God, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you have not only given your word through your Holy Spirit, but that you have preserved it for us, that you might continue to instruct us. And we ask that you would instruct us this morning. Lord, I ask that you would bless your servant as he preaches your word. Give me clarity, Lord, and power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that through this word we might be strengthened in our love for one another, in our unity, and in our love for the Lord Jesus, and our communion with him. And it's in his name that I ask these things. Amen. A little bit, in just a little while, we are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And this is a wonderful privilege, and it is a joyful occasion. It is truly a spiritual feast. But as Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, as we've just read this morning, this was a church that was observing the Lord's Supper in a way that was bringing dishonor to Jesus and even bringing judgment upon some of them. And so Paul gives some important instructions for them. And the instruction that we're going to focus on this morning as we're going through our series is wait for one another. As Paul is describing some of the issues in the church with regard to their observance of the Lord's Supper, he concludes with this admonition. My brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And we're going to see this morning that Paul's instruction here is really an exhortation to the church. It's a reminder that when the church comes together, they are to conduct themselves in a way that exhibits or expresses love for one another, exhibits the unity of the church, and experiences communion with the church and with the Lord Jesus. So we're going to look at that in these three parts. God's the word's admonition, God's admonition to you to love the church, express the unity with the church, and to that you might experience communion with the church, together with the church, with Christ. To understand this, you have to be aware of the context. So as Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the church was celebrating the Lord's Supper in the context of a larger meal. They were gathering together for a fellowship meal. It was a potluck. And we do this at Knox every other month. And the Corinthian church was doing this on a regular basis. And in the course of this potluck, this fellowship meal, they would break bread and drink wine in observance of the Lord's Supper, according to the instructions the Apostle Paul had given to them. So their observance of the Lord's meal, as we are going to partake shortly in our service, was just incorporated into this larger meal that was known as a love feast, or an agape. That's the Greek for that brotherly love, or that love, the love feast. But instead of an occasion for love, unity, and communion, these love feasts have become occasions for the despising of brothers, for disunity. And so the church was not experiencing true communion with Christ, and to the contrary, experiencing even judgment. Now, people would gather together and for the potluck, but not everybody would show up at the same time. And often you had the wealthy people that would show up with their pot roast and maybe a good sirloin steak and fine Chianti. And then they would go ahead with eating the meal that they had brought. They were bringing their favorite meal. And they dove into it and gorged themselves to the point that they were getting drunk. And then you had the poor people bringing their bag of carrots, and they show up to the feast. And there was nothing left for them. Among Christ's body were even servants and slaves, those who did not have the means to bring food to the meal. And they'd show up, and there was nothing left for them. And so they were returning hungry and ashamed and without participating in the Lord's Supper. So Paul, here he rebukes the church for this. And in the midst of this, he mentions something that I want to just talk about at the outset. He says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." So he says, you've been observing the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now, as we go through, we're going to look at what exactly he's saying there. But I first want to tell you what Paul is not saying. You might read that and think, well, when I come to take the Lord's Supper, am I worthy to take it? And maybe you think back in your mind at how you were short with your children yesterday. And you think, oh, I'm not worthy to take the supper. Well, Paul here is not saying you cannot. The supper is not for sinners. In fact, quite the contrary. We come to the Lord's table precisely because we are sinners in need of the Lord Jesus. Because in the supper, the Lord offers himself, his life, to you, his body. And so the worthy recipient is the one with the hungry soul. When you come to the Lord's Supper, because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you hunger for Christ, you're a worthy participant. But he says here that they're observing in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And this goes to how they were conducting the love feast. And so first, they were conducting the feast in a way that despising towards their brother. When the public gathering is supposed to be an occasion for them to demonstrate love for one another. And so we see here in verse 21, he says, "Do you despise the church of God when you come together?" One goes hungry. So he said, when you come to the meal and you bring your food and then you eat it up without any regard for your brother and you leave him hungry, you are not showing love for the brothers. And when you despise the church of God, you despise Christ, because Christ is in his body. And so that's the first point. When the people of God, when you gather together as God's people, you're called to exhibit love for one another. Very important. Remember the words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you come to the temple to bring your sacrifice, if you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your sacrifice on the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer that sacrifice. So when you come to worship the Lord, Jesus says it's critical that you are coming in a spirit of love for the brothers. You can't, on the one hand, despise your brother and yet claim to love the Lord. This is what John says. He says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Who's the light? It's Jesus. Whoever loves his brother abides in Jesus. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness. So we're called to love our brothers and to express that love. I've often heard in my time doing evangelism at the Boardwalk Chapel, you speak to hundreds and hundreds of people, and I've often heard some say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. I don't love the church. I don't go to church because I just don't get along with Christians. So I just love Christ on myself. And yet, what the Word says is that you express your love for Christ in your love for your brothers. And this love is demonstrated by sharing and caring for those in need. The issue here was that the poor among the brothers came to the feasts, and there was no food for them. And those who were wealthy and could afford their own dinners gorged themselves on their own meals. They failed to provide. But look at the contrast to what was happening here in the Corinthian church with how Luke describes the church in Acts 2. He says, and all who believed were together. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So that love for one another was being expressed in providing for those in need. So how do you as a body express your love for the needy when you gather together? Do you care for those who are in need among you? Well, people can be needy in various ways. Some are needy because of age. Perhaps they're elderly, or perhaps they're at a point physically where they're not able to drive themselves to church. One way of expressing love for the brother would be assistance with transportation. Or perhaps some are needy because they're very young and they need attention. And so instead of neglecting or seeing young children as those who are an impediment to a worship, you give attention to their needs. Or perhaps you're sitting in a pew next to a guest, right? A brother who's visiting from out of town, and they're a little disoriented. They don't know where the hymnals are, or they're having trouble following along in the bulletin, right? Drawing alongside them and showing them and helping them to navigate a new place is a way of caring for your brothers and sisters. Think about the fellowship meal. When Knox has their fellowship meal, and you approach that meal, are you aware of who is in need of food? You know, kids, maybe you see that dessert table and there's a limited number of cookies. Is your first thought, well, I want to make sure I get my fill of cookies? Or do you look around and notice your a brother or your friend who's not yet had dessert? So Paul says, when you come together, wait for one another, and in that way, show love for your brothers and sisters. But that love that we're called to show the brothers comes out of the unity that we share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is the second point. We're called in our gatherings together to exhibit the unity of the body. I want you to notice in verse in our passage here, and Paul says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Now, if you've ever done a study of this passage, maybe the question has come up. What is Paul referring to when he mentions the body of Christ? For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Well, on the one hand, that can refer to the body of Christ. So in other words, when people were coming together to eat and they were taking communion, he says many of them were approaching this as a way of filling their own bellies, to the point that they were getting drunk. And so they had no thought, as they're receiving the bread, representing, symbolizing the body of Christ, they were giving no thought to Christ himself. They were failing to discern Christ. And so Paul says, when you gather together, and you're taking communion, and you're gathered with the body of Christ, the point is not to fill your belly, but it's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But the physical body of Christ, as is symbolized in the bread, is not the only thing referred to as the body. In fact, elsewhere in Paul's letter here to the Corinthians, he refers to the church as the body of Christ. And so some commentators believe that Paul is referring here to the church, whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ, his brothers and sisters. Now, that word discerning just literally means to notice or to recognize. So he says, in this understanding, this interpretation, the body, the church is coming together, and yet they're giving no thought to their brothers and sisters, right? They're only serving themselves. And so as they're eating, receiving the bread and wine, they're eating without giving any thought to the brothers and sisters. And it's interesting here that as the Holy Spirit has given this to us, he doesn't simply say, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body and blood, but he says without discerning the body. And that's because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to think about both. So both the body, both Christ himself and his body. Because Christ is in his body. There is a close union between Christ and his body. So how do we reflect that unity as we gather as God's people? Well, Paul's admonition here, again, was when you come together as the body, wait for one another. When you wait for one another, what are you doing? You're giving attention to others. You're noticing them. And so in the army, there's a saying, right? No man left behind. It's kind of a motto of the U.S. Army. And that comes out of the idea that there's a solidarity among the members of the army, that they're one, sort of they're one person, so to speak. And so they, if they're leaving an area, they will leave no individual behind because of that solidarity. And so that's what Paul is saying here. When you gather together, don't leave anyone behind. I knew a teacher who was teaching a week-long series to a church that he was visiting, and he resolved not to begin teaching until all the members of the church were there. And so the first day, they waited about 2 hours before everyone finally showed up, and then he began to teach. And the second day, someone was out sick or said they had something else. And so they waited. And by the third day, the whole church had come together, and people stopped getting sick. The people stopped having reasons for not being there. And the body began to, the congregation began to function as one. Wait for one another. And this unity is a key theme throughout the New Testament. It is an important aspect of the gospel. What does Paul say in Ephesians 2? Christ has broke down the wall of hostility separating the Jews and the Gentiles and made out of them one people. That unity is so important. And how do we reflect the unity as we gather together as God's people? Well, one of the ways that we demonstrate that unity is just simply by attendance, by actually gathering together. When you meet with God's people, you are recognizing and expressing the fact that you are one people. We can also exhibit that unity in small things, like the way we sit together. I remember being at a church that had about there's under 20 people, and it's a large sixth sanctuary that probably seated about 200. And as I got up to behind the pulpit, I noticed that there was about six rows separating each individual. They're spread out. Now, of course, sometimes, you know, due to physical considerations, people need to sit in a corner. If you're serving, and as a deacon, you need to be in a certain area. Sometimes you need to sit in a particular area, but sitting together is a way of expressing that unity. This is my brother, this is my sister, and we are one body with one Lord, one family. So when you come together, you exhibit that unity. And that's why as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the elements are distributed, but what do? We wait till everyone has received, and then we eat together to exhibit that unity. Perhaps you have that practice in your dinner table. The food is served, but you wait. You may be sitting at your table, but you wait till everyone is seated before you begin to eat, because you display that unity. So when you gather together, brothers and sisters, wait for one another. Express that unity. Well, that unity, we express that unity because in Christ we share communion with one another. And this is the final point here. Paul's admonition is for the church to show love for one another in their waiting and to express unity with one another in their waiting in order that they might experience true communion with the Lord Jesus and with one another. And that's why he says, you know, this is not the Lord's Supper that you eat when you come together. Because when you gather together, you're serving yourselves. But the Lord's Supper was given. You were brought into one body that you might experience communion with one another. That word communion is also in the Bible translated as fellowship. And it's also translated sometimes as sharing. You think about the word communicate. When you communicate with someone, you have ideas and thoughts in your head, and you express those so that those thoughts that are inside you are now simultaneously inside the head of the person that you're speaking with. And so there is a connection there when you communicate. And in communion, we share the life of Christ in ourselves with one another. Now, when you eat a meal together, that is certainly a way of expressing and experiencing fellowship. And perhaps you've had that experience. You have an acquaintance that you've known for some time, but when you invite them over, or they invite you over, and you share a meal together, there's a depth of a fellowship that you experience. There's there's a difference between eating by yourself and eating with other people. There's a fellowship that you experience when you share that meal. And so this is why Paul says, wait for one another. If you're really hungry, eat at home so that when you come together, you're not just eating to fill your belly, but you're eating to share communion, to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. But there's a special fellowship that happens in the Lord's Supper with one another. And that's because when you come together to take and to receive the Lord Jesus in communion, you are sharing the same Lord Jesus with your brothers and sisters. In Corinthians, earlier in the letter here, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation," or that's that word, the word for Greek word for communion, "in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation or communion in the body of Christ? And because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." See, if by faith you believe in the Lord Jesus and you have been united to him, and if by faith when you receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, if you're receiving those by faith, you are receiving, spiritually receiving, the Lord Jesus himself. But your brothers and sisters are receiving the same Lord Jesus. And so you have the same Lord dwelling in you. And so when you come to gather together, and you come together to eat from the table, Do you think, okay, I'm going to worship the Lord as an isolated individual? Or do you think, I'm coming to gather with my brothers and sisters? You know, there's a saying, a common saying or a phrase that we use about relatives, physical relatives. We say about your cousins, and we've got the same blood because we've got the same, you know, we share the same grandparent. We have the same blood in us. Well, as a Christian, united to Christ, feeding on Christ, you have the same blood as your brothers and sisters because you have Christ, the life of Christ in you. And so later this morning, when you take, in a few moments, when you take the Lord's Supper, you receive that, you are remembering the Lord Jesus. But as you remember the Lord Jesus, take note that you are remembering the Lord Jesus with your brothers and sisters, and that as you're receiving Jesus, your brothers and sisters are receiving that same Jesus. You are one body. And this is why the Lord's Supper is not something that you celebrate on your own at home. But this is why we come together to take it, because we have one Lord. And so after the service, when you greet your brothers and sisters, remember that you're greeting one who has the same Christ in them and who has been fed by the same Lord Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, when you gather together, wait for one another. When you gather together, express the love for those who are needy. Wait to express that love. When you gather together, exhibit the unity in the way you wait for the one another, in the way you interact with one another, in the way you think of one another, in the way you sit next to one another. And when you gather together, brothers and sisters, and you commune with the Lord Jesus, you commune with one another in Him. Praise the Lord for His calling. Praise the Lord that He has called us into one body. And may He cause His life to dwell in us. And may that love, that unity, and that communion be shared by us all. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank You that You indeed have called us into one body, that we have one Lord, and that as we commune with You, Lord Jesus, as we receive You, that we also commune with one another as Your body. And we ask that indeed You would fill us, and that as You fill us, Lord, that filling would express itself in the unity that brings glory to Your name. And it's in Jesus we ask. Amen.